Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Yes, it is time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I'm Mark Walters. Welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you here on the Daily Defense. It's my favorite part of every single day is being able to join you and talk to you about the things that nobody else is talking about. Iran, that's one of the top topics today. Is Marco Rubio, is Iran, is Hillary Clinton. Yeah. No, you won't hear any of that today. We'll be talking about things that matter to your daily life as you go about your business. Let's jump right into it. I had mentioned last week about the National Rifle Association meetings and the New York Times, and I was wondering whether or not the New York Times was going to retract one of their stories. And this ties in very well with my thoughts on the mainstream media. Very well known to anybody that listens to this program or has read anything that I've written over the last several years, my disdain for the mainstream media is very well known. I believe that the mainstream media happens to be one of, if not the most dangerous entities we face in America today. They will outlive this president and the next president and the next president. And they have proven themselves over the last several years, particularly during this administration, to be nothing more than a propaganda wing, a shill hack wing of the progressive left side of the Democrat Party. Let's just say the Democrat Party, which has in and of itself become a progressive hack wing. But the New York Times, they know what they're doing. The editorial board in particular knows exactly what they're doing. They know that most of you are headline surfers. And that's just a sad fact. And when I refer to you, I'm talking about the general population, not specifically you. You listening to this program are much more intelligent than the rest of the bunch. You are not a headline surfer. That's why you are, in fact, listening to this program. Back to what the New York Times did and what the media does in general. They know most people will read the headline and then move on. That's what they think of you. You're a sucker. You're an idiot. You're stupid. They know that, or they think they know that, and that's why they get away with it. But take a listen to the opinion page from the New York Times on April 10th. This, of course, was the day the National Rifle Association convention opened up in Nashville. No firing pins, please, as the National Rifle Association gathers. 70,000 people are expected to attend the NRA's convention opening on Friday in Tennessee, but they won't be allowed to carry firearms in one of the main convention venues. This may run counter to the NRA's ideas about carrying guns everywhere from elementary schools to workplaces. There will, of course, be plenty of weapons and evidence at the hundreds of display booths, but for convention security, the firing pins must be removed. So far, there has been none of the familiar complaint about infringing supposedly sacrosanct Second Amendment rights. The gun lobby's main argument in opposing tighter federal background checks on gun buyers after the 2012 gun massacre of school children in Connecticut. Anyone interested in buying the guns on display, many of them adapted from large magazine battlefield weapons, will have to apply later at a federally licensed gun dealer where sensibly enough background checks are required. The feature of this convention, beyond what is being advertised as 9 acres of guns, will be the parade of Republican presidential aspirants, and on and on and on. Sean, can I bring your mic live? If it's not already, I can hear you in the background. And what I want to do is ask you if you've, in fact, read this New York Times piece.
No, I haven't.
Okay. You heard me talking about it last Friday, and that's part of the reason I wanted to bring it up today, because what happened here and what you just heard, no firing pins, please, as the NRA gathers. The New York Times blatantly lied to you, to anybody who was reading.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out lied to you. And told you that no guns were allowed. We asked them to print a retraction, as did many others. Here's what we got for a correction on April 11th, 2015. Because, of course, you were allowed to carry guns. The National Rifle Association has no policy. They abide by the policies in the states that they are in. And in the Music City Center in Tennessee, guns were welcome. Concealed carry permit holders, as long as you were following Tennessee law, you were welcome to bring your firearm with the firing pins intact to the convention floor, as I did, as many, many tens of thousands of other freedom-loving, law-abiding citizens did. There was nary a discharge. Of course, there was No damage to the floor where people accidentally fired their weapons. No one was hurt. We all know that story. But on April 11th, the New York Times printed this as a correction. An editorial on Friday about the National Rifle Association's convention incorrectly described the rules for carrying concealed firearms at the event. Carrying is prohibited at one of the main convention venues, not all of them. That in and of itself is weak and designed for the headline surfer. Here's why. Another lie. A hidden lie by the New York Times. Anybody who was at the convention knows one of the main convention, it said carrying is prohibited at one of the main convention venues. The main convention venue that they're referring to, one of them, was Bridgestone Arena. There was one event over the course of the 3.5 days at Bridgestone Arena. It was not one of the main venues. Yet the New York Times doesn't care about giving you the truth. They care only about continuing and fostering the lie. They wouldn't dare come back and print a retraction, which is what you were owed, because of the lies that they told you. Why would they do that? It would make them look foolish. It wouldn't further their agenda. So we wanted to get that out there and let you know, just call attention to that, that the New York Times idea of a correction is another lie. Would you expect any different from the New York Times editorial board? I would not. There's a tremendous article I would really suggest you read. And this is in from a website called The Federalist. You can catch it at thefederalist.com. Titled, The New York Times is Blatantly Lying About Guns at the NRA Annual Convention. It was written by one Sean Davis on April 10th. Very, very well written piece. In a scathing editorial, quoting from Sean Davis's piece, in a scathing editorial this morning, the New York Times editorial board excoriated the National Rifle Association for banning all working weapons from its annual convention in Nashville. Then it goes on to quote what I just read you. There's only one problem. This claim is blatantly false. It is a complete lie. There is no ban, NRA instituted or otherwise, on the carrying of working weapons at the NRA convention in Nashville. Contrary to the claims of the New York Times editorial board, anyone who is licensed to carry in the state of Tennessee, and goes on. I would suggest that you read that. It is an extremely well-written piece, and it calls out the lies of the New York Times in, let's just say, eloquent fashion. It's a great piece. I would suggest you go there. That's at thefederalist.com, and you can Google that up at New York Times is blatantly lying at the Federalist, and you'll find that for yourself. Sean, how you doing today?
I do very well. How about you?
I'm doing well. We are going to tell another story today.
Oh, very nice.
Except this time, the subject of said story is going to be on the air with us.
Mm.
So what I'll do is kind of tease that right now. I'm going to go ahead and get into it, wrap it up in the next segment. Then I'm going to go to the individual who was the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Of this story, and we're going to bring in one of the greatest trainers, personal defense experts, I want to say trainer, personal defense experts in the world, Rob Pincus, who wrote the analysis of what you're about to hear in our book, Lessons from Unarmed America, and the two of them are going to come on the air with us today and talk about the things that you need to know. You already know Marco Rubio's running for president. Woo-hoo, the crowd's going wild. Yay, woo-hoo, Marco Rubio. You already know Jeb Bush is going to run for president. You already know Hillary's driving around in a goofy little van trying to reinvent herself as if she's some type of normal person. That's in and of itself a joke that really requires no further discussion as far as I'm concerned. You know these things. What you don't know is what you're going to hear happened to Lee Michaels. Lee and I, he is the operations manager up at 1280 AM The Patriot, our great affiliate in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Lee told me this story, told listeners this story on the Sunday show when I was broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair, as I am wont to do from time to time in August. I love going up there for that. As a result, listeners got a dose of reality, kind of as something similar to what we've had over the last couple of days on the show. I've really enjoyed this week so far, opening people's ears and eyes to what's happening. So I'll leave you with this. What happens when you do everything right? I'm serious about that. What happens when you are actually paying attention? What happens when your face is not buried in a cell phone? You're not staring down like a blank slate as you walk back to your car at night. What happens when you are actually paying attention to your surroundings, awake and aware? What happens when you're doing the right things? You think it can't happen to you? Think again.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. I left you kind of teasing another story today. These are important. I wanted to spend as much time as I possibly could this week, I guess, reminding you, you probably already know that evil exists. It's why you listen to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. It's why hopefully you listen to the Monster Broadcast, heard in hundreds of cities across the country every Sunday from 8 to 11 Eastern, 5 to 8 Pacific. If not, and you're new, during the daytime hours, early evening hours, this is important information, and I'm glad you're with me. It's an honor to be here with you. I'm going to tell you this segment, the story of a man by the name of Lee Williams. Lee Williams is, like I told you about John and his rest area robbery yesterday, Lee is also a good friend of mine. He also happens to be the program director, operations manager up at 1280 AM The Patriot in Minnesota. You're listening to the program today. Many of you have probably already heard this story, but it certainly bears repeating. Lee Michaels is a good man. He's a family man. And he's a good friend to the people who know him best. Like most good people, Lee's a valued employee. He's an esteemed member of his community. He's a great father. He's a loving husband. And he's someone who spends most of his days working hard to support his family and be the best that he can be. He did not deserve what you're about to hear. He didn't deserve it. What makes these events so difficult and frightening is that these are good people simply going about their daily lives doing the things that they enjoy doing. In this case, in Lee's case, it was just a typical November evening in Minnesota. It was cool and crisp. Lee was on his way home from a night of hockey, as he said. He was playing hockey. He was heading back to the townhouse that he shared with his wife and children in the Minneapolis burbs. You know, he's a radio station news guy. He's no stranger to the bad things that happen to good people. Part of his job requires that he report this news. As a result, he's probably considered a little bit more aware of the realities of crime than the average Joe, no doubt about that. And as Lee put it to me when we talked, I'm always aware of my surroundings, he said. Lucky for him, as it was his ability to remain aware that saved his life, literally during a violent criminal ambush. He was coming home from a hockey game late in the evening, sometime around 11 p.m., between 11 and midnight. He pulled into the parking lot of his townhouse complex, as he had done countless other times. This time was a little different, though. He remembered seeing someone on a bicycle. He thought that was kind of odd. And he said, and I quote, "I almost hit him." As he stopped, he watched as the bike rider moved safely out of the way and out of his line of sight, and then he pulled into his garage. He maintained his awareness because he's one of those people, he said, quoting, who usually leaves the car running as the garage door closes. He's aware of his surroundings. Lee gets the preparation, avoidance, awareness techniques. As the garage door closed, he finished his water bottle, tossed the empty container, you got that visual, grabbed some things from the car, exited the garage through a side door, and walked outside and stood in front of his townhome. Like most guys, we do these things, ladies. We look up sometimes and we admire the fruits of our labor. That includes you, too, by the way. And he noticed the young man who was moments earlier on the bike, except now he wasn't. This time, Lee said, he was walking towards me. I just seen him on a bike. Now he's walking towards me and he asks me for some money. He responded, "Nah, man, I just came home from playing hockey. You know, I don't have any money for you. I wish I did." As he replied to the bicyclist, another man walked around the corner toward him carrying a firearm. And as Lee put it, the man was drawing down on me, so the first guy was a setup. Right then, the first one moved around behind. He didn't have a mask on, but the one with the gun had a black hoodie and a skull cap over his face and was asking me for money. Imagine this. This is in his driveway. Imagine this is your driveway. The man asked him for his ATM card. Lee thought to himself, is this guy thinking I'm going to give him my actual PIN number? It's funny what goes through your mind in a situation like this. The guy told him, the thief told him, the criminal told him, the potential killer, the man with a gun pointing it at his head in his driveway, said to him, "You got to give me more than that. I'm done with this, man. Get on your knees. Get on your knees. Then he looked at his pal and he says, I'm just going to do him right here. I'm going to blank and do him right now. That's when the sickening reality of what was unfolding began sinking in. Lee began thinking about his family and what was truly happening to him at that exact moment. He tried to grasp the fact that what was unfolding, as surreal as it seemed, was actually very, very real. I'm going to let Lee Michaels finish this for you. The man who was told and heard and felt the steel behind his neck and heard the criminal with the gun with his trigger on the his finger on the trigger say, I'm just going to do him right now. In other words, I'm going to kill this man in his driveway. Lee Michaels, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Mark. And you got me drawn to the story. I'm actually, you know, start shaking a little bit when I hear it described again. I've told the story many, many times, but it's exactly what happened. And, you know, when he put me on my knees and I felt that gun press against the side of my head and looked up at my daughter's bedroom window and thought, my wife's going to find me in about 2 hours. I pictured myself, I could see myself falling forward right there, pool of blood, and 2 hours later, my wife finding me. And that's what went through my head. And then one of those things that he started asking me, you know, for more money or my bank card, are you going to take me to your bank? And right then I realized, I'm going to get out of this. I got to do something. So now my whole mindset switched to, I'm looking at his shoes. I'm looking at what his pants are wearing. I turn around to look at the guy behind me, and I can see he's standing there, both his hands at his side. He doesn't have any weapons on him. I'm like, okay. I turn around, and this time I just yell at the guy. I'm like, well, tell me what you want. And as I turn my head to look at the guy with the gun, that I'm staring down the barrel. I mean, it's about 3 inches from my left eye, and that thing looked like I was looking down a 105-millimeter howitzer. That was a huge barrel in my face. And at that point, he said, take me to your bank. And as I tell my wife and daughter all the time, and anybody knows, you don't ever get in a car and go to a secondary location. It is always bad news.
It's a death sentence. It's a death sentence.
You know, I kept thinking, what are they going to do, drop me off at the corner and say thanks for the ride?
Right.
No. So he stands me up, puts the gun to the base of my neck, puts his hand on my shoulder. I open the service door. I open the garage door, hoping that somebody will drive by. It's fairly busy in the townhouse complex at midnight, hoping somebody would see something. In my garage, I have to park all the way to the right side. It was a single-car garage. Knew nobody could get in the car on the passenger side. And I thought, they walk around there, try to get in. I've got an out here. I climb in my car in the driver's seat. The whole time now, I can't even tell you what the guy is telling me. He's yelling at me. He pistol whips me a couple of times with the gun in the side of my head. His buddy tries to climb in behind me, the guy who does not have any weapons that I know of. He is struggling with my daughter's car seat. Can't get in, so he finally climbs over. And he's now in the passenger side rear seat. As the guy with the gun circles around the car, I think, well, maybe I can stick my hand in my coat pocket and call 911. Because I don't want him to know I have a phone, but I just gassed up. I had a receipt in there. That receipt sounded like I was crinkling a piece of tinfoil.
All right, I want you to stop right there, Lee. We're going to leave it at that. You're in the garage. These guys are trying to get you in the car. You're thinking through what's about to happen. When we come back, we're going to hear the ending of this and how it turned out. Then we're going to get some analysis.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. We are joined by famed personal defense expert Rob Pincus. Personal defense expert encompasses everything. Training, education, basically teaching you everything you need to know in a life or death situation. How to avoid it is key. Rob Pincus, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm excited to be here, man. This is my first time on the Daily Show, and congratulations on having it, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I've been looking forward to having you on. You and I have been doing this a long time together. This is not our first rodeo. I've got Lee Michaels on the phone with us. He is wrapping up the story that you and I wrote about and analyzed. Let me take it back and allow Lee to put us back in his garage. Let me reset this up for you. We are in the garage with Lee Michaels. He is being held at gunpoint. There are two people who are now corralling him into his vehicle to try to get him out, to take him somewhere, to take his money and undoubtedly his life. Lee, would you continue the story, please?
Yeah, I'll pick it up where I left off. And Rob, great to speak with you again, too. So as I'm sitting in the driver's seat, can't call 911. I've got a guy in the back seat, passenger side. And at this point, I'm thinking, if the gunman tries to get in the car and to go around to the passenger side, this is my out. I'm gonna take off, and I'm either going to run the guy over or whatever I can do to get out of the situation. As he starts to walk around the car, I can see him. He's got the gun pointed at me as he walks behind the car. And I think, don't start the car yet. As he walks up to the side of the garage, as soon as he puts his hand on the door handle to open the passenger side door, I thought that's kind of the natural point, start the car. Pulls the handle up, the door opens. I start the car. As he swings the door open, it hits the garage wall, and there's no way he can get in. But he turns his back to me to try to slide in. And as I watch him the whole way, as soon as he turned his back and that gun was between his body and the garage wall, I dropped that car into reverse and jumped on the gas, and all 300 horse kicked in, and I went rocketing out of that garage. I didn't care if I tore the door off. I didn't care if part of the garage wall came down. I was out, and I was just going to drive to the police station about a mile away or to a well-populated area. As I pull out of the garage, I'm ducking down, and the gunman must have been pushed up against part of the garage, and when he spun it, closed my door, I got out of the garage without losing anything, which was amazing in itself. And as I look back, the guy in my back seat now is trying to open the door, but he can't get out because the doors lock automatically when you put the car in gear. Now he's kicking the window to try to break it. He can't do that. As I spin the car around, I can see the guy in my garage on his hands and knees lying on my garage floor. There's no gunman. Now I take off with the guy in my back seat. At this point now, he says, I'm going to mess you up, and he's swinging at me and breaks my turn signal, but he can't get at me because of my headrest, and he's grabbing for the steering wheel. At one point, he knocks the car into neutral as I'm coming out of my townhouse complex. As I put the car back into gear, I take my hand off the wheel, he pulls me into the grass, and there's trees, and at that point, I know I'm not going anywhere, so I lock the car up, and I bail. And the second I get out of the car, I'm running back, putting a row of townhomes between me and the gunman in case he was following, dialing 911. As I'm dialing 911, I actually run into an officer who was coming down the street who later had seen me running and was trying to catch up to me to see what was going on. They called it in probably within 90 seconds. There was a half dozen squads around the neighborhood, canine units. As I was telling the officer the story over and over, which for a couple of hours it seems, we could hear the dogs barking in the neighborhood. They called SWAT. They found these guys, the dogs, tracked into a house. Long story short, the man was in the back of my car. He actually spent 54 months in prison. He did not roll on the gunman, and the gunman got away with my $20.
Okay, unbelievable story. Unbelievable story. The gunman got away. Unfortunately, the guy pulled street justice, didn't roll on his boy. Rob Pincus, we've got, with the last 4 minutes or 5 minutes of this segment, you've written extensively about this. We've discussed it before. Your analysis of what Lee did, this is, and again, I want to set you up with this. This is a guy who was doing everything right. Go ahead and take it away.
Yeah. Hey, Lee, it's good to hear from you again. Always powerful to hear that story and hear you tell it. And even though we've talked about it several times in person in different seminars, and obviously we delved into a lot of the details for the book, every time I hear it, it's like a new piece kind of clicks over on how much, as Mark just said, you did right. And as we looked at a lot of the stories for Lessons from Unarmed America, it was real easy to say, hey, here's where something was missed. Here's where something could have been done better. Here's where something clearly wasn't done well. Your story really didn't have that. Your story was a reminder that no matter how much you do well, how much awareness you have, seeing that something was wrong, someone was in a neighborhood that probably didn't belong there, looking around, being aware of your surroundings, no matter how much of that you do, you can still be caught off guard. And that's a powerful message, and that's a powerful reminder that even if you think you're...
Did we lose Rob? Okay, Rob will go ahead and call us back. I'm certain about that. Lee, we still have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sure Rob will call back. What the point is, again, this is not my first rodeo with Rob. I know where he's going here. The key here is that even when you do, you are practicing preparation, avoidance, and awareness techniques. It's key. It's paramount that I point out right now. You were unarmed. Were you
correct.
A gun owner at that time?
I did not carry a permit. Nope, but I was not a gun owner.
Okay. Can I ask why?
I was an NRA member. Which was funny, but yeah.
Which is always a good thing.
I've always been pro-gun. We've had guns. I just did not have one at that time.
But you practiced.
Not a handgun, I should say.
What made you so aware of your surroundings? Because you were practicing, maybe even without even knowing it, you were practicing classic techniques of preparation, avoidance, and awareness, which I kind of like to boil down to preparing to avoid by being aware. And I understand we've got Rob back, so let's go back to him quickly. Rob, let you pick up where you left off. We've got about 3.5 minutes in the segment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it cut off. You know, what I was saying was it's powerful to hear that story, to hear how much Lee did right. And it's a reminder that no matter how much you do right, you can still get caught off guard. You know, at IC Training Company, we talk a lot about counter ambush. We talk a lot about what's going to happen when you can't avoid, what's going to happen when you can't de-escalate. And even then, you can't have a choreographed approach. You can't assume it's always going to be, you know, a double. You can assume really anything at that point because you have gotten caught off.
All right. Let me ask you about this, Rob. You said a choreographed approach. So many people go through, and I know in classes I've attended, trainers have always said, hey, think about what you're going to do. Picture what you're going to do, which kind of forces you into a training mindset. What you're saying here is, if I read you correctly, is that even though we might do that, we can't always picture everything that might happen. Therefore, we really can't set ourselves up all the time for what might go wrong. Is that a fair assessment? Looks like we've lost him again. Okay. All right. Well,
I would agree, Mark. I'll take.
Go ahead, Lee, please.
Because that is something I did think about, as you mentioned, you know, where I used to drive an extra lap around the parking lot to make sure it was clear. I would pull in, I would put the car in reverse and watch the garage door close in case somebody came in behind me. You know, waited long to make sure that guy on the bike had cleared the area. You know, did a lot of things where I had rehearsed that, but still hadn't got to a point where I thought, until that moment when he's pointing a gun at my head, that, you know, I wasn't sure how I was going to get out of there. So I had to adapt to how, if I got into the car, because I had not been able to get into the car to use the car to get away. It could have been a totally different scenario.
Yeah, it could have, and it probably would have. Back to Rob again. Rob, I understand we might have a bad cell. That's okay. The information that you give is so important. We're talking about the preparation, avoidance, and awareness, and the fact that Lee was not a gun owner, but he was still practicing all of these things. And we can still be caught. As a trainer, we go through these things and we picture these events in our mind. Is that detrimental sometimes? Because maybe we think in our heads, maybe we know everything. Is it bad? Maybe what?
Yeah, we talk about the security blanket. You know, if someone believes they're always in, you know, some state of alertness or awareness that's going to prevent them from falling victim, it's going to prevent them from being ambushed, you know, they have the real possibility of being complacent. You know, we had hundreds of people in one of the seminars over the weekend at the NRA show, and I said, Jack, raise your hand if you try to sit with your back to the wall and your eyes on the door in a restaurant. Well, you know, in a defensive concept seminar at the NRA, people coming to hear me speak, of course, 70-80% of the hands went up. I said, okay, how many of you order off of a Braille menu so that you never...
Yeah, we actually used that as an example on the program yesterday. We're going to come back right after this break, and we're going to continue with Rob Pincus and Lee Michaels about what happened to Lee, and then we'll talk about armed self-defense in this case. We'll be right back.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Beginning this year, Magnum Research Incorporated, a Car Arms owned company, is proud to bring the Baby Desert Eagle 2 back to the U.S. market. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 offers a double action, single action trigger and plenty of firepower. Available in 9mm, 40 S&W, and 45 ACP, several barrel lengths, and either steel or polymer frame. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 is an exceptional handgun value. For more information, visit MagnumResearch.com today. That's MagnumResearch.com.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com, KeltecWeapons.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6 plus 1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with two magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
For the final segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, we got to move quickly. A couple things to get out of the way before we go back to Rob Pincus, who is not on an Obama phone, I can promise you that, although it might sound like that. We're going to tell you right now that you need to head over to USCCA on AAR. The Gun A Day giveaway is going on right now. You have 7 hours, 11 minutes, and 40 seconds from right now to win a Smith & Wesson M&P 45C. Retail value of $619. All you've got to do is go to USCCA on AAR and activate your subscription to our sponsor, Concealed Carry Magazine. That's all you got to do. Greatest Concealed Carry Magazine, the only one, the best resource for the armed citizen in America today, bar none. Join over 150,000 other subscribers, 1.5 million Facebook fans, social media, and get involved. You can win one gun a day now, between now and the end of April. Also, the Concealed Carry Expo, May 8th, 9th, and 10th in Minnesota. You can check that out at ConcealedCarryExpo.com. Don't forget to visit Crossbreed Holsters and support the sponsors that make this daily show possible. Let's go back to Rob Pincus and to Lee Michaels. We're telling the story of Lee Michaels, and we want to get some more analysis from Rob. Let me quote a passage from Rob's analysis in the book. You know, he says, carrying a gun is no guarantee of safety, but it does tend to change the behavior of those who are responsibly armed, as well as present many more options for personal defense in a worst-case scenario. Let's go to the armed response, or possible armed response, to Lee's situation. Rob Pincus, if he was armed, what could have happened differently?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. What we would tell people is that if he was armed, he certainly would have had more options, right? Maybe it would have played out exactly as it did. Maybe there would have been no opportunity to access the firearm, and in fact, using the vehicle as he did and then escaping any further confrontation would still have been the way it played out and the best way the situation could have played out. But if he had had the firearm with him, it could have gone very differently. Let's say they didn't bring him back into the garage and said they took him out behind the building. If he didn't have access to the other tools, if he didn't have access to the firearm, or sorry, the car, then maybe the firearm would have been his only option. Maybe there would have been an opportunity for him to use the gun. If the guy had pushed him over to the passenger seat and taking control of the steering wheel himself, well, then obviously Lee wouldn't have had the opportunity to use the car. Well, there's where the firearm may have become the better tool. Having the firearm simply gives you more options. There are people that have had no other options, have been unarmed, and we know that the result was they weren't able to improvise something, and then we tragically aren't talking to them on the radio and aren't learning lessons from how they won their fight. We're talking about how we have to learn lessons from them losing their fight. So having the firearm really just expands your options so much more that if someone is taking their personal defense seriously, as Lee certainly was up to that point, his awareness showed that and his improvisation showed that, how much better off would he have been if he had had the armed option?
I have to ask this before I go back to Lee. When someone's carrying a firearm, they also carry themselves differently too, don't they? That could possibly make them less of a victim without their knowledge even. Is that a true statement?
It's possible. I mean, from everything we know, you know, let's look at what we know. What we know is that Lee was aware. Lee was carrying himself in a way that was alert. And who knows what these guys are picking up. We're trying to gauge criminal behavior and, you look like a victim, so they came after you. You looked like you were strong. Well, what if you're walking through a certain neighborhood and you look strong and somebody decides you're there to challenge them? And then they take that you walking with your head up, looking around alert as a confrontation. We don't know. It's hard to predict violent behavior, right? Because the violent behavior itself is aberrant, right? So what I say is carry the firearm, and then obviously we have to change our behavior. We have to be more responsible. We have to avoid confrontation that much more, although I don't know that anything leading up to the moment of clearly the violent intent of the aggressors, I don't know that anything would have changed had Lee had a gun on him.
Lee, let's go over to you quickly. You are now a gun owner. You are now very well trained. I know who you have trained with. I know how frequently you train. I've attended events with you. I've been in a simulator with you. We've done some Gander Mountain events together. Your life is entirely different today relative to how serious you take your personal defense as a result of. And what we are trying to educate people to today is, hey, learn from you. Hence the name of this book, Lessons from Unarmed America. That's what the term lessons means. What have you learned and what have you taken away from this? And talk to us about your firearms ownership now.
Well, I do have more tools in the toolbox now, that's for sure. And well, I always do. But it's one of those things of being aware. And I take my situation awareness in what I do and looking at instances in teaching my wife and daughter what to be aware of. I mean, I've had a couple of other stories where I've used my awareness to not get in this situation. I think I explained this once before. I was driving with my daughter late one night, and here's a cabbie, you know, flagging me down. And as I pull the corner, and there's dark weeds and a vacant lot to my right, and I just kind of I go by him. It was a summer night. I had my window down, but something wasn't right, and I kept going. And my daughter said to me, "Why didn't you stop to help him?" And I said, "You know what, honey? Because you were in the car. Because I don't see what's coming over these railroad tracks in this vacant lot. This guy, the cab driver, should have a cell phone." I mean, being aware of your surroundings. It might have been a totally harmless thing, but you look at things differently. And who knows? That could have been a setup. It could have been just a harmless deal that the guy did need help. But with my daughter in the car, I was not going to take that chance. So being aware, and I live my life that same way. I'm not paranoid, but I do am aware of what's going on around me.
I don't think anybody listening to you today and listening to what happened to you would consider you paranoid for being aware of your surroundings. Rob, that's the beauty of some of the technology that I can't stand so much. You've got a cell phone in your hand. You don't have to get out of the car now to find out what's going on. You can pull forward out of harm's way, yell to someone through a window that you're going to call for help, and drive off. Is that good advice?
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to be directly involved. We had a lot of conversations, I think it was about 6 weeks ago, about this Good Samaritan phenomenon. You know, how do we get involved? How do we help? When do we get involved? What do we do? We have plenty of options of getting involved without exposing ourselves to danger. And there are times when we might choose to expose ourselves to some level of danger to do a greater good, that we feel compelled to help someone else. It might put us in harm's way. You know, obviously, that we don't want people running around looking for that opportunity, but we know that people will be pressed into that opportunity sometimes, and we want to make sure they're making smart decisions. And again, being alert, knowing what your options are, and choosing the path that least exposes you or any other bystander to danger is always going to be the best choice.
Excellent advice. We're going to close out the segment with you right there. PersonalDefenseNetwork.com, Rob, is that where everybody can go?
personaldefensenetwork.com, click the training tab, and take a look at the courses we have coming up in the training tour between now and the end of July, me and 10 other instructors. And obviously, they can always find some great videos and articles at personaldefensenetwork.com as well.
Put it on the Pursuit Channel, the Outdoor Channel, the Sportsman's Channel. You're bound to find Rob Pincus somewhere on your television at any given hour of the day or night. Rob, thanks. We'll have you on the weekend show again very, very soon, as you well know. Great to have you here. Lee Michaels, incredible stuff, riveting stuff, real life stuff. I can't thank you enough for coming on and telling that story again. It's hard to hear that.
Thanks. It's hard to relive it. I tell it enough, but I tell you, I still get a little goosebumps and shakes when I start to relive it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. People can listen to you on 1280 AM The Patriot or AM1280ThePatriot.com. Any shows you want to push while you're there besides this one?
Armed American Radio Sunday night, 7 to 10, and Armed American Radio Daily Defense every day.
Thank you. We appreciate it very much. Lee Michaels, thank you for being here. Sean, these are difficult stories to hear, but this is a reminder to all of us. While the mainstream media might not want to remind us that this happens, why they don't talk about this on a national level, it's why we don't have statistics about how many times this happens. What I can tell you is that on average, based on statistics, from what we know, even from the left and the right, if you cut the numbers right down the middle, this happens. A gun saves a life in America, or someone is harmed or wishes they had a gun, sometimes up to 2,191. That's the estimates coming out of Second Amendment Foundation and another number of other organizations. But a gun is used to save a life in this country 2,191 times on average every single day. The mainstream media is derelict in their duties by not reporting this information to you. Coming up tomorrow on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, the great columnist for Breitbart, A.W.R. Hawkins. He likes your right to keep and bear arms. He will be here. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.